Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. Is it just me or Mark is going to be wearing trash bags and chewing tobacco, trying to cut weight like his wrestling days? Next week could be like a throwback to your high school wrestling days. Although you wrestled heavyweight, right?
Yeah,
so you didn't have to worry about
weight. I didn't really. Yeah.
Here's the motivation.
Okay.
Do you still have your high school wrestling singlet? And that should be the motivation. Try to squeeze into that thing.
To squeeze into the singlet?
Yeah.
No, I do not have my high school wrestling singlet.
Boy, there'd be a lot of stuff rolling around those edges of that singlet.
Right. You know how they come down on the side and I would have like a little, that would not be a little muffin top. That would be like, wow, you used way too much batter in that muffin. That is the muffin. That is the muffin that keeps on. That's when you pull out your muffins and it looks like a cake.
Right.
It's not singular muffins. They all explode over and just make like the top of a cake.
Yep.
That's what I'd have hanging out the end of my singlet.
Chris in Denver always makes my day when I realize Stink has way less self-control than I do.
Oh yeah. I am, I told you yesterday, I wish water was addictive. I drink way more water if I could get it. If I could become addicted to it, just doesn't like coffee or diet soda or meat or other things.
This one, I eat fat. It's not good, but I ate it. Stink.
No, it's delicious.
It is delicious.
Fat's delicious.
That's exactly right.
A little gristle on it, uh-huh. So you got to play with it for a little while.
Yeah.
You feel like a cat. You just kind of shake your head a little bit, like a cat with a mouse. You know, you toy with it before you actually eat the mouse.
Uh-huh.
Play with it a little bit. That's what gristle does in a piece of fat.
Kristen Littleton. Bacon-scented candle. All right, you got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Vic is that if the defense is good, he's a winner. If the offense is good, he is safe because he will take credit. If the offense stinks, he's safe because it's not his job. He only does defense. He's in an all-credit, no-blame situation. Have you been paying attention to this offseason? Honestly, can he, if the Broncos go 1-2 in these first three games, is it fair to say that he is coaching for his job beginning with that Ravens game?
Good. Get out of here.
If he goes...
Well, see you later.
If he goes 1-2 in September... The way September's have been for Vic Fangio, yeah, he's on. He got to be on the hot seat. When's their bye week?
Oh, it's not until November 21st. 10 games in.
Yeah, you probably.
Oh, you can't say he's safe until the bye.
No. I'm saying he's on the clock. If you go 1-2, you're on the clock, and over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you make a decision to move on if you don't rectify it. If all of a sudden you're not 5-2, you know, over the next three games, well, with three games plus one, that would be 4-2, not 5-2. If you start 1-2 in the next three games, you got to win.
Dude, I'm taking a
4-2.
I've put myself on self-probation.
Oh, when it comes to math issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I was trying to say. Like, I think those following three games, what are they? Baltimore, what else?
At Pittsburgh. Home against Vegas.
Yeah, if you're 1-2, you're on notice. Those three games will either, they will seal your fate as a coach. You either get, if you can't win those three games, if you lose to Vegas again, if you're George Payton, you gotta make a tough decision. You gotta make a move. Don't you?
Well, the reason I say it starts with the Baltimore game is if you're 1-2,
you're now starting to coach for your job because you lose that. Now you're 1-3. Then you go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're at a point where you have to win games to save your job.
Right.
Because, as you said, if I'm George Payton, here's how I look at it. If I'm George Payton, all right, hey, I got a 6-year deal, came into the process. I'm prepared to use this year to sit back and kind of evaluate, see what we got. That includes the coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not beholden long-term to Vic Fangio. And he could look at it like, all right, Vic Fangio's not my guy. I'm going to try to save the season, get a little bit of a new coach, that new coach smell.
Mm-hmm.
I got at least two guys on my staff right now who could easily slide in to be interim head coaches in Pat Shurmur and,
Mike Munchak.
Mike Munchak.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Munchak might be the guy that gets the interim job.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. So my point being is that. You talk about what's at stake here. And I was listening to Drive yesterday. They made a great point about this. You may have a hard time going back to find a Broncos season where so much hung on the start of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there were the seasons where you guys were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Yeah. I mean, at that point, of course, you know, all the games were important because the expectations were so ridiculously high. But I'm talking about real consequences for who your starting quarterback is, who your coach is. I mean, all this stuff could change within a month. Your coach and your starting quarterback could be, whatever your plan was at the beginning of the season, could be completely different a month into the season.
Sure, because at that time, your franchise might say, and George Payton might say, hey, listen, here's what we got to do. We're already, let's say you're 6 weeks in and you're 2-4 and you decide to make a coaching change. Now all of a sudden you say, hey, we don't think that, we're 2-4 with Teddy Bridgewater. We're not going to be any worse with Drew Lock. Let's see if learning how to prepare, let's see if all the work he put in the off season, let's see if all the reps he got in the regular season on scout team and everything, let's see if that translates. Let's give him a chance to go out and prove us wrong, so to speak. So it could be a directive from on high. We got to find out. Because you're not going to find out in two games or three more games. You need people to prepare for you, people to take away your good stuff, people to, you know, they force you into doing the stuff that you've struggled with on film and see if you can overcome that stuff.
Somebody said, is it just me or did anyone catch the Easter egg in the new Red Dawn? When Josh Peck's character gets into his girlfriend's car after the football game, he changes the radio to 104.3. Did that happen?
I haven't seen
Red Dawn, The Rise of Coach Dolan.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen it.
I know
it was Oscar nominated, and I usually see all the Oscar nominated movies, but I did not see this one.
I come home because it's on, I've got Xfinity, and you can go through all the movies, you know, that you can watch. And so every night I put it on. Just to get that residual check. It's got to be like a penny every time it plays, right? So I'm going to get it next month. I'm going to get a check for maybe $5-6.
See, the problem is that
Latte!
Red Dawn was like, that was like one of the iconic movies of
the 80s.
The 80s.
Right.
I mean, it really was.
Sure.
So
Swayze.
Oh, my goodness.
Was Leah Thompson in there?
Swayze, Leah Thompson, Charlie Sheen. Charles Howell.
Howell, yeah.
C. Thomas Howell.
That's like Seymour Butts. C. Thomas Howell.
I just got that.
Seymour.
Not the Seymour Butts part.
The C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah. I just got that.
You can see Thomas Howell.
I'm thinking of the you know, did they yell out Wolverines and he howled? But now I get it. Yeah, see Thomas Howell.
See Thomas Howell.
See Thomas Howell. Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
Great movie. Right.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the remake. I'm sorry. All right, I'll try to watch it this weekend. Another cent.
Yeah, there's another penny. Into the coffers.
Jeez.
All right.
All right. Let's see what else we got here.
A lot of squishy Mac talk. All right, so this texter says, it's a good point. So you're telling me the Broncos passed on Justin Fields or Mac Jones simply because they didn't fit with Pat Shurmur's system? How stupid is that?
We're going to have systems.
All right, now, first of all,
we were actually trying to throw incompletions.
I don't believe that happened. I think if George Payton really liked either one of those quarterbacks, he would have taken that quarterback. System be not be damned, right?
Correct.
I mean, if he had
that guy higher graded, either one of those guys with a higher grade than he had on Surtain, he'd have gone. He's a scout. He'd have gone that way. He did not have that guy graded very high, or I shouldn't say graded very high. He had that guy at a lesser grade. Then he did it, Surtain. I think Surtain, honestly, was the highest graded guy on their board.
Their board?
Yeah, I think they got the highest graded guy on their board.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was better than Surtain?
Non-quarterback.
Yeah, no, just anybody in the draft last year that was graded above Surtain, because the quarterbacks probably weren't graded above. So
maybe Lawrence.
But who was the, like?
Okay, look at Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts probably had a pretty high grade.
Kyle Pitts was probably graded higher than.
How about the receivers? Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, J.C. Horn, the corner, Penei Sewell, the offensive. You know what?
I think
that's a fair case right there.
Right.
Making.
I think other than Trevor Lawrence and then I would go next. I think you're right about the tight end Pitts. And then I think the next highest graded guy on their board was probably Surtain.
I agree with you.
The other two guys were gone.
Yep. I agree with you. I think that's fair.
And so they got the highest graded guy on their board that was still available. Now, I'm not bright. I prove that on a daily basis on this show.
Again, normally I agree with you, but I'm on self-probation.
But I will say this, Mike. You don't create a bad football team by drafting great football players. And if your belief system is like my belief system, which is a roster building system, create a great, great roster. And guess what? You can have success even if your quarterback isn't a unicorn. I also believe in that. And so I think that's the direction you go. And especially when, come on, you've been 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11 the last 4 years. They, not you, they have been. There certainly is a reason to believe that you got to build the rest of the roster. And I don't adhere to just get a quarterback and everything will solve itself. I've seen teams try to do that as well. Most of the time those guys get ruined.
But to the texter's point though, that if you're George Payton and you come in with a 6-year deal, 6 years, you know, in theory, well, maybe a solid 4 to 5 to put your vision into place. If you like the quarterback, if you love the quarterback, you're not going to let who your current coach or especially offensive coordinator is get in the way of that.
No way. You're going to tell very much like what the directive I believe that Pat Shurmur has got. hey, let's dial back on that. Let's go deep. Let's dial back on that. Hey, I want shot plays. Let's dial back on that, and let's be a team that operates. Let's be a team that moves the chains. Let's be a team that complements our defense. Let's be a team that gets some short fields and scores off those short fields. Let's be a team that can dominate in predictable run situations. Like, those are the things that, and if Vic Fangio hasn't said those things, then Vic Fangio, in my opinion, shouldn't be your head coach. If he hasn't gone to Pat Shurmur and say, this is the way we're going to operate. This is what I want to see. This is what's going to give us the best chance to win. That's your job. Not, hey, Pat, just do what it is you do. Hey, Pat, we're going to complement my defense, and we're going to make sure that this thing works in a fashion that gives us the best opportunity to win.
By the way, will you get a chance to talk to Shurmur before the game next Sunday as part of your prep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll talk to Vic, I'll talk to Shurmur, I'll talk to Teddy, obviously, and then I'll talk to probably one defensive guy and one offensive guy, other than Teddy.
Maybe one of the secondary guys, maybe Simmons? Or maybe one of the corners?
Yeah, I'll talk to maybe Fuller. Fuller would give me, I think Fuller would be a real interesting guy because of what he's been in Chicago and how that translates, right?
Yeah.
So that might be interesting to get Fuller. And then offensively, Courtland might be an interesting guy coming back from injury and what he's seen from the standpoint of the rest of the receiving core, the growth of those guys, and that might be an interesting.
Yeah. Gordon?
Gordon. So, yeah, I think there's.
How about you enter the GB zone?
No. Although I do need to enter the GB zone when it comes to weight loss. If I was in the GB zone, I'd already made it.
You know, my zone is GB zone.
Oh, he's an amazing athlete.
Oh, the guy is pound for pound one of the best athletes on the football team, without question. Yeah.
I mean, he carries, what, 315? Easy.
Dude, he is. He's got, you know, freakazoid strength, but speed. Like, the guy's movement skills are ridiculous.
It's like how effortlessly I carry 210.
I'm seeing some effort. I mean, I don't know about effortless. There definitely is a little effort. I know that shirt is getting efforted right now.
Wait a minute. No, you're just looking at it differently.
There you go.
I loosened it up a little bit.
Okay.
It was kind of,
yeah.
It was like an optical illusion.
We're going to have to do a save the seam challenge next.
Here's one from Gary and Mead. Right. Is it just me? Sorry, not a fan of Peyton. They were planning on giving the job to Bridgewater the minute they traded for the journeyman checkdown artist. Then they do not draft a QB. That's it for me on the guy. When your plan is Bridgewater, that's not a good plan. Fourth best QB and fourth best coach equals last place.
Obviously, they haven't won here in 5 years.
One, if they were planning on giving the job from day one to Bridgewater, they would have made the decision to give the job to Bridgewater much earlier than they did so they could develop more continuity on the offense. Their plan wasn't just to give the job to Bridgewater. Their plan was if Drew Lock can't take the next step, Bridgewater will be our guy. Their hope was that Drew Lock would have a meteoric rise from an understanding standpoint, from a pocket presence standpoint, and just go take the job. That didn't happen. That's why we sit where we sit. To sit there and have this conspiracy theory that they were giving it to Bridgewater from day one, then they would have just given it to Bridgewater from day one. They wouldn't have gone through the charade of letting Drew Lock try to win the job. So I don't buy that at all. They had a desire. Why would you not have a desire for a guy you drafted in the second round to take the reins? To flat take the job. They gave him every opportunity to take the job, and he couldn't. And I'm not going to say he spit the bid. I don't think he spit the bid. I just don't think he took the job. Dude, when you're in a competition, and you know, maybe many of you haven't been in a competition, but when you're in a competition, you got to go win the competition. You can't just hope that it falls into your lap. I mean, I don't want to be given the starting job because the other guy trickled down his leg. I want to be given the starting job because I went out and earned the starting job. That's how competition works. And you know what you want? You want the dude that comes out with bravado and takes it. And consequences be damned. I made a bad mistake. I made a bad choice. Who cares? Give me the ball again. I'm going to cram it down somebody's throat. You know, we always used to talk about, hey, man, if you make a mistake, we can deal with a mistake. We can deal with a mental mistake or deal with a physical mistake. As long as you're bloody in somebody's nose, we're going to survive. You know what mistakes you can't make? Mistakes of, what's the opposite of aggression? Passivity.
Yeah, being passive.
Is passivity a word? Passivity.
Yeah.
Sounds like a word.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a word, it should be a word. Passivity. Passivity. You cannot make a mistake of passivity. Therefore, right? I mean,
ergo.
If you're passive, or you're tentative. Yes. If you're tentative.
Man, throw in an alacrity and I'm got people on I-25 rolling down their windows, right, throwing hats out on the right highway.
If you are tentative, and you're making mistakes, guess what we can't use? We can't use you. So there is no place in the NFL for somebody who is dumb and tentative. That's not a combination that works. Hey, man, dumb and aggressive, we can find a spot for you. Dumb and tentative, no. Smart and aggressive, you're going to play for a long time. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I'm not calling anybody dumb. I mean, I'm not calling anybody dumb, but I'm saying that you can't make mistakes and be tentative while making those mistakes because we can't use you.
Right.
You can't play here. But to act like it was a done deal and they were going through the motion, if it was a done deal, you're costing yourself an opportunity as a head coach to retain your job by not naming the starter and getting your offense the most consistent reps that way. To split those reps is taking away from each quarterback. So if you, I mean, that to me, speaking of dumb, that to me, that thought process is just stupid. If you think that they decided to split reps for 3 or 4 weeks because they had already made up their mind, that's not a congruent thought process at all. Congruent. Drop the freaking mic. Wow. Passivity.
Good brain.
Congruent. Tentative.
Alacrity earlier.
Man. Denver, Colorado. You're welcome.
It's like Sandy Clough or Sean Drotar immediately sat down next to me.
Bow chicka bow wow.
By the way, you can listen to easily the two smartest people on the fan.
I gotta tell you what.
Together between 9 and midnight now.
I need an ice bag for my forehead right now. Maybe
that was some serious brain work right there.
That was heavy, heavy brain work. Heavy. I'm overheating right now.
All right, is it just me Friday? And as you know, traditionally, this is where we get really loose, the last 30 minutes of the show. So have at it. Get loose with us next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Is it just me? Am I the only one dying on the side of the road as Mark uses four-syllable words and Stokely can only quote MC Hammer?
It's a good point. Good point. How many calories do you suppose I burnt in the last segment just dropping vocabulary words?
Oh, I bet a bunch.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how slim
I sound?
Sandy Clough has stayed over the years?
That is true.
Coincidence? I think not.
John Drotar also svelte.
Mm-hmm.
Used a lot of big words.
Yep.
Big words, using big words takes more energy. Because not only do you have to enunciate all the syllables, you have to think. That takes brain power. Brain power fueled energy source drain.
There you go. Very simple. This is from Tracy in New Mexico. Mark, you'd be so proud of me. I got my husband on a Henway last night.
Good job, Tracy. Got him on the old Henway, did you? That makes me proud.
Wes in the 970, is it just me or does this, this is how we got it, my attention. Bacon. Wait, hold on. Bacon steak gristle. All right. See, got my attention. Mm. Is it just me or does this current team feel like the John Fox teams? Well, they'll be pretty good, probably make the playoffs, but that's as far as it's going to go. Is it just me or have you noticed and are you as blown away by the narrative as I am that seems to have picked up momentum this week that going to the playoffs, being a wild card team, one and done, how does that really help us? All it does is it hurt our draft position. What?
Right.
Are these people like, have they been like literally under a rock for the last 5 years? Have they watched the same football, the bad football that we've all been forced to watch to the point where we wouldn't crave a playoff run? I would crave a playoff run.
Dude,
if you told me right now, okay, Broncos are going to go 10-7. They're going to make the playoffs as a wild card and lose in the first round. Sign me up. Anybody else?
Right.
Sign me up.
Who was? Here's the thing that is so. Do you still have the? Can you use your little fingers, to get last year's draft?
Sausage fingers activate.
Right. Yeah, they're not little fingers. They're just last year's draft order. Like who was drafted last year?
Got it.
Okay, he's already got it.
Boom.
He didn't even have to put the Vienna sausages to work. So
that's where you play the little wieners drop.
Right.
Benny.
Little wieners. Look at the wide receiver. The first guy that was taken was Henry Ruggs, right?
Oh, 2020.
2020.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But now here goes the fingers. All right, here they go. Little Tyrannosaurus arms, he's right up against the desk. So short.
So such a...
I just expect him to go... He's got a big green shirt on. He looks like a Tyrannosaurus. Okay. What?
You are such a...
Do you have it? Mike's... They sound squishy. They hit the key. All right, do you have it?
No!
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing?
Henry
Ruggs was the first receiver taken by the Raiders.
Hold on. Yeah, and then Jerry Judy went.
Then Judy.
What's your point?
And then Jerry Judy, and then CeeDee Lamb went after Jerry Judy.
Yeah, so and it went it went Ruggs, Judy, CeeDee Lamb,
mm-hmm.
went to Dallas. You won other wide receivers
yeah.
in the first round?
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor
went to Philly,
number 21.
In the middle of the 20s.
Justin Jefferson
and who was the best of the rookie wide receiving class by far?
Justin Jefferson.
By far. Where'd he go again?
He went 22 to the Vikings.
Oh, but if we win and go to the playoffs, we're going to be down and we won't get a good draft pick. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing that garbage.
No, you know what it is, though. No. That's not... well, we're going to win and we're going to play ourselves out of a good draft pick, meaning we're going to miss on getting the Justin Jeffersons of the world. No. We're going to win 10 games. Yay. Get into the wild card. Yay. Get knocked out in the first round. Yay. And now we're going to play ourselves out of being able to draft one of these can't miss stud quarterbacks is what that texter is implying.
But here's the point. The point is this. Where were the Kansas City Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes was on the board? They were down in the mid-20s. They made two.
Yep.
When you have a solid roster, okay, when your roster is really good and it's really deep and you've addressed all the issues that you've had in the past and you've got enough youth on that roster, guess what you can do? You can trade up to get the stud quarterback that you want. Do you understand that, how the draft works?
Well, let's say if you believe Chicago got their holy grail in Justin Fields, they moved up from what, 20?
I don't even know where they came.
I think they were 20, right? 20 to 11?
They came from somewhere. I think they were in the high teens, but it doesn't matter. If you want the guy, I know Kansas City went from like 24 or 25 to 10 to get Mahomes.
Showtime!
Boy, what a great move that was.
Was a great move.
Great move.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomenal. And the heart, everything. I like to throw the ball, sidearm. Run around. Sometimes I use my left hand. Really good.
Little Orgeron in there.
Yeah, I'm just jealous.
It's all. Of course. Of course we're jealous.
Jealous.
Of course we're jealous.
Yeah.
Now we know what those Chief fans for decades were feeling when they had to deal with Elway and then Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes on the other foot now. Sucks.
It does stink. I saw a highlight of Herbert, by the way. I mean, under duress, climbing the pocket and just
knock on wood,
chucking one sidearm to the opposite side of the field.
You better hope he has a sophomore slump regression season. Otherwise,
you're in trouble.
Otherwise, he's Mahomes. And you got two of them in your division. Seriously, if he has no problem and just builds on year two,
then you gotta come up with a nickname for the division like Bennifer. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta mix Mahomes with Herbert.
Which then, honestly, actually, if that, let's tackle that doomsday scenario.
Okay.
Let's tackle that because then I think it really puts into focus what George Payton and the Broncos have to do moving forward. That's next. I know how you like to have a little fun with listeners who insist that, I hadn't hurt my knee in high school.
Right.
I've gone all the way.
Yeah.
Right? So you were talking about how you need an ice pack for your forehead after all that thinking.
All that thinking I did. Yeah.
This is from Kyle.
Okay.
Who texts in and says, I played three sports a year in high school, but the activity I was always by far the most tired after, Knowledge Bowl tournaments. Brain power, calorie burn is real.
Oh, yeah?
Three-sport athlete and Knowledge Bowl expert. Probably lettered in that.
In Knowledge Bowl?
Knowledge Bowl. Got four letters, probably.
Four letters. Incredible. You are on the debate team.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like the debate team.
Yeah.
I was always the first guy out in the spelling bee. Just always.
Wait a minute, always? I can only imagine you competed in one spelling bee. How many spelling bees did you compete in?
No, I mean, you know, when you had the classroom spelling bee or whatever, first guy out. They can throw anything at me. I'm going to spell it wrong. Didn't matter.
Did you tank it?
Or no, I can't spell.
You just couldn't spell. You went by it honestly.
Yeah, I tried.
Well, you had dyslexia. Nobody knew, right?
Right. Everything was backwards.
Right.
Ouch. A. You know. Who knows? I spell couch. It's a tough word.
I I don't know if dyslexia has a impact on knowing that couch starts with a C or a K, does it?
I don't know.
Hey, listen.
I don't know how it works.
I am not here to judge during a week in which I thought gallon was a weight of measurement, a measurement of weight.
Yes.
So I'm stepping away this
you
week.
Have already
I
you
am
already
taking the rest of the week off when it comes to educational stuff.
Yes.
We're talking about the doomsday, the apocalyptic scenario.
Uh-huh.
That if Justin Herbert does not regress this year, does not have a sophomore slump and simply builds on what he did his first year, then
then you've got two unicorns
in your division.
Yeah. Herb.
Oh, you're looking for like a Bennifer thing here?
Yeah. You combine the two. Herbert.
Well, no, then you get basically all of Herbert's names.
Herb Ohms.
It's gotta be, you gotta get, like, be Maubert.
Maubert?
Right.
Maubert.
Or her home.
Mahobert.
Or her
How
home.
Mahobert.
Maybe.
Mahobert.
Maybe. Anyway, the fact is, if that is the doomsday scenario, honestly, why would you ever really try to go out and find your unicorn quarterback? Why? I mean, the odds of one division having three unicorns in it? No way.
Has it ever happened?
I mean, you're already expanding and blowing past what's normal if you have two in your same division. So the idea, that would just even make the Broncos mission harder, but easier at the same time, where it's just, we got to go out and build the most dominant defense and most dominant running game in the NFL.
Yeah, I just, it's funny you bring this up, and this is how things happen all the time, but I was just thinking, like, has there ever been, like, I think of the AFC South a few years back with Matt Ryan in his prime, you know, winning MVP, with Drew Brees always being one of the best, and Cam Newton winning an MVP. How about that division with those three quarterbacks? I don't think Cam was ever a unicorn. Cam was never a unicorn, neither was Matt Ryan.
No.
But
last time a division
had three, like, well,
just
legit,
two. No, let's just go with,
okay,
let's start
just
with
go two.
Two unicorns. And honestly, I'm just tossing it out. I can't think of one right off the top of my head. I'm tossing it out. Where a division had two unicorns.
Elway and Montana?
Montana wasn't a unicorn at that point.
Right.
I mean, obviously Brady never had any competition.
Wait a minute.
Manning?
Sure, Holmes.
Sure Holmes?
Why Sure Holmes?
Why Sure Holmes?
I don't know. It just was.
No, I don't like it. But say, during Favre's time, was there somebody else? No.
Never in Chicago. They haven't had one.
Never in Detroit. Never in Minnesota during the time that Favre was. Nope. Same thing with Rodgers. Breeze. Now. Jeez.
Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger, was there ever anybody that you would look at and go, yeah, no?
No.
And brother.
I can't think of one. So never mind trying to find three. Oh boy, he better regress. Man, I have never been more hoping for a guy to fail than I am Justin Herbert this year. Right?
I hate to wish ill will upon guys.
I know, but understand what I'm saying.
I get where you're coming from. What about back in the AFC West? I got one. Nah. I was going to say Kenny the Snake Stabler and Dan Fouts.
I got one.
Okay.
Jim Kelly and Dan Marino.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But yet, neither one of them won a Super Bowl.
Dan Marino went once.
Kelly went four. Never won one, though.
Right.
But that's
probably as close as you're going to get, right?
Right.
Forgot about that. I forgot they were in the same. That's right.
And I guess you could argue Drew Bledsoe was never a unicorn, but he was a heck of a quarterback.
I mean, he was a really good quarterback. So you could argue they had three. Did they have all three in the division at one point, those three? Marino, Bledsoe, and? No, Marino was at the end.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. But you're right with Kelly and Marino back in the day. Wow, that, I mean, that's about, you think about it.
Seriously, isn't that about it? Ryan Breeze is maybe the closest you'll get since those two.
Who? Ryan Breeze? Yeah. Tom Brady and Chad Pennington?
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Who could have forgot the halcyon days of Pennington? Actually, he was really good.
No, you're right. Okay, we had a request.
Okay.
To finish the show. Mm-hmm. And this comes in from somebody who was very impressed by the four-syllable words you were throwing out earlier today.
Yeah.
And said that the only thing that would make that better is if we could hear Professor Zeus rolling through some of those words.
What words?
So the words were...
Passivity?
Passivity? Alacrity?
Alacrity.
Tentative.
Tentative.
Which isn't that big of a word.
No, but...
No, what was the other one?
Passivity, alacrity. Congruent.
Congruent, right. Okay. Professor Zeus, class is in session.
Everybody, please come to attention. I want to make a couple of congruent statements. Don't be tentative. Come on up to the front of the class. Quickly now, a little alacrity, if you will. Some of you are sitting in the back with your passivity. I would like you to come forward to the front of the class, please.
Use it in a sentence, too.
Wow. Wow.
You're welcome.
This may have been your greatest show ever. I'm not kidding. It may have been your greatest one ever. Okay, on that note, we're done. We will be back here Monday morning. So if you are laboring on Monday as well, or if you are just off, but you have that annoying habit of not being able to sleep in on days that you have off, hey, we'll be here bright and early Monday morning. So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Chad and Nate coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.